Well, this is going to be interesting since we have so many people here who didn't hear this message the last 2 weeks that I've done. And I really have some other things that I want to go on to. I have other things I want to teach. The Lord says we're coming into a new level of accountability. And I was going to go on to the next teaching and he stopped me and says, no, he just stopped me stone cold. He said, I just saw this outline again. And he said, no, he says, you need to tell them no longer is it permissible to be hearers and not doers. And the time for hearing and not changing is over. And he says, everyone loves to hear the word. Everyone enjoys that. Everyone enjoys doing the word to a certain extent until it comes to change. Real change. The kind that he's been talking about in the last 6 months or so. The kind where you come up against a stronghold in your own life like a Jericho or an AI. Something that maybe you've had your whole life. A lifelong pattern. Something that's a real stronghold. And he says it's time to change. Well, change is going to involve warfare. And who was it that coined the phrase, I don't care if we are in church, war is hell. Patton, war is hell. It's hard. Nobody likes it. And the tendency is, okay, after a little bit of warfare, I'm going back to the first church where they tell me I'm okay. Well, now you are okay. God loves you. I love you. Loves you, you know. But my prayer is, Lord, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you love me too much to leave me the way I am. I don't want to stay the way I am. I know I've got strongholds. I know I need to change. So for the last 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, for the last 2 weeks, he's had me teaching on faith and the elm tree. Since we've got so many, I wasn't planning on doing this tonight, but since we've got so many people here, I'm going to give you the ultimate condensed version of faith and the elm tree. And go ahead and look at Mark 11:23. Let's just read this. Yes, and okay, and then we're also going to have to look at Hebrews 11:1. Then I'll do a quick synopsis. Sue calls me the master of synopsis. Amen. We'll see if we can do this real quick, because what we want to get into tonight is not so much the revelation, but the implementation of the revelation. How do you do it? And I'll tell you right now, if you don't do it, your elm tree is not going to grow, and you're not going to get the fruit that you're after. And you can come to this same thing a year from now, and you'll still have to do it. And nobody can do it for you. You can get some temporary relief through the gifts, but if you don't know how you get something, very often it's hard to keep something. But if you know how to plant the tree and grow the tree and protect the tree, you'll eventually get fruit off the tree. In fact, you'll get so much fruit, other people will start coming and eating off of your tree. That's why we're all listening to Dave still. He's got so much fruit. Glory to God. So anyway, Mark 11:23. And I know there's been a lot of excess with this verse. I know there's a lot of people teaching under the banner of this verse, even using the name Rhema, that Kenneth Hagin would never put his stamp of approval on what they're teaching. It's extortion and it's excess. But just because people abuse the Bible doesn't mean you have... That doesn't give us permission to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And these words are in red letters. They're in your Bible. They're always going to be there. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this truth is never going to change. So let's start in Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And really the most accurate Greek definition of that phrase is have the faith of God. In modern language, we would say, have God's own faith. You could say it this way. This is how God has faith. This is how His faith works. Well, how does it work? Well, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I could go on and do the part on prayer, and I could go on beyond that, I mean, this morning the Holy Spirit was dealing with all of us regarding forgiveness. See, and he finishes up down here, if you don't forgive, none of this is going to work for you. I mean, just get that straight. My faith won't work for me, Brother Gary. Well, are you in strife against anybody? Are you holding anything against somebody? I was listening to a testimony just this afternoon on a teaching, and this person had been prayed for healing, had arthritis real bad. And the minister praying, I mean, they prayed, and this minister is very accustomed to getting results. But the lady wasn't healed. He prayed again, the lady wasn't healed. He said, are you mad at anybody? She said, no. He said, are you sure you're not holding anything against anybody? She said, I'm just sure. He said, well, what about your husband? Oh, I'm mad at him, but that doesn't count. It counts! He got her to pray and forgive her husband, and she got healed. But now none of this is going to work without that. I know that's why the Holy Spirit's wanting to start out this year cleaning out any sludge out of the pipeline. Can I say it that way? He's trying to clean any sludge out of the pipeline. Now just get alone with the Holy Ghost. We're not on fishing trips. Don't manufacture something. But if you get in prayer and say, Lord, show me in my heart where I'm still holding a grudge or I'm still mad at anybody, that's got to be dealt with first, or just forget the rest of this. Okay, all right, so we're not teaching on that really tonight. All right, but he says, notice there's two parts. Every time you see Jesus teaching on faith, you're going to find out faith has two parts, not one. Most people equate faith with the word English word believing. Well, that's not totally wrong, but real Bible faith has two parts. You believe in the heart, and you say with the mouth. And the Holy Spirit has taught me more than once, most people are failing one inch below their nose. They're having more trouble with the saying part than they are with the believing part. But you can believe it 100%. And if you never say it, you never authorize the Holy Spirit to manifest that in the earth. Now, I don't have time to review about light be and all of that, but most of you know. I mean, the Holy Spirit was here, hovering over the face of the deep. It was dark. God the Father wanted light. The Holy Spirit, He's God. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He knew the Father wanted light. He's there with the ability to make light. But He's not doing anything. Sounds like Him in my life. He's all around my life. He has the power to change everything about it instantly. He's waiting on something. Well, what was He waiting for there? He didn't do anything till He heard the spoken word. Let there be light. And only then was He authorized to do what He does. Molecule changer. Really, in the Hebrew, God says, light be. The Holy Spirit moved and light was. Glory to God. That's the way I want all my prayers answered. How about you? Be healed. Manifested. We're coming into that season too. But it has two parts. Believe in the heart. You see it everywhere. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is your Lord, thou shalt be saved. You'll find it everywhere. Believe in the heart and say with the mouth. All right. All right. No more time for that. All right. Go over to Luke 17, 10. I said 10, but really we're going to back up to verse 6. Look at verse 5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let me just ask you, how many wants your faith increased? Amen. How many would like to operate in more faith? And some of you may be operating in great faith. I'm at a certain level. You're at a certain level. But if you want to increase, Jesus gave them an instruction. Now, it's not the whole revelation. We don't have time to do the whole revelation, but this is part of it. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, in other words, mustard seed is small, but it grows, doesn't it? Doesn't it grow into a big tree? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, in other words, if you want your faith to grow, you might, and really that's a 1611 translation. Today he would say, you would say, if you had faith as a seed, you would say. Now in that case, he's speaking to a sycamine tree, but he's commanding it and telling it what to do, and then it obeys him. Did I tell you to turn to Matthew 17 also? Okay, Matthew 17. Here, let's look at it again. This is the story where the disciples had tried to cast the spirit out of that lunatic boy and they didn't have any success, but they had already been casting out devils before. It's not like they didn't have experience, and I'm sure they did everything that they knew to do.
But this particular devil caused extreme visual manifestations. This one, it says it throw him on the fire and it throw him in the water. I mean, they were seeing stuff like they hadn't really seen before, and it affected their faith. They did everything that they'd done before, but it didn't work. Jesus comes along and he does what he does, and it works. The boy's healed. So what would you ask after that? We've been casting out devils before. Why didn't it happen when we pray? And here's his answer. Verse 20. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, don't you love it how he minces words? Because of your unbelief. Ow! Because of your unbelief. Here we go again. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed is small, but it has an image. And it has the ability to grow. He's saying, look, you don't have to stay in unbelief. You can learn to have faith as a seed and make it grow. But if you to do that, every time he mentions faith as a seed, then he says, you shall say. You notice the saying is connected every time with faith operating as a seed. All right, go over to Hebrews 11, verse 1. I know you know this by heart, but you're going to hear it again. Why? It's good for you. I didn't eat spinach just once. I still eat it today. It's good for me. Hallelujah. Didn't like it then, don't like it now, but I eat it anyhow. Sue likes it. I don't know how that's possible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now I'm going to quickly go through this scenario. We teach here all the time about the Holy Spirit being your personal teacher. And Him being God, He's all-knowing, all-present, everywhere, all the time with eternity. So He has time to be each one of your personal mentors. I like to say it this way. It's as though He has all eternity with nothing else to do, nothing at all except to teach you. And the more time you spend praying in other tongues, it's just exactly like going to a college class for an hour. If you spend an hour praying in other tongues, then the Holy Spirit is praying mysteries, things that we don't understand. Like, well, how do you pray and somebody's arthritis is healed? How do you do those things? Those are mysteries to this world, but they're not mysteries to the Holy Ghost. And not only does He have all the time that there is for just you, He knows everything about you. He knows every bit of education that you've ever had, like formal education. But He also knows all the informal education you've ever had. Maybe your daddy taught you how to fix cars. Maybe your mama taught you how to bake pies. Maybe this. He knows every personal experience about your whole life. So He's able to not only take the Word of God, but He's able to bring up experiences and things that He knows you know about in order to personally teach you faith. Well, in the early days when I was going over to the ugly building a lot, and hearing this message, I knew I had a good foundation of faith teaching in me from the, you know, Word of Faith movement. And I thank God for that. Just that alone had already got me healed of cancer and had gotten all of our daughters rescued. Hallelujah. So, you know, I would have some success. And I think, I mean, that's pretty good success not to die of cancer in your 40s. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. I'm 60 now. Hallelujah. Gave me 6 months. That's been a long 6 months. But still yet, on many things, I would fail. And the reason was, I would hear these stories about these men of faith, men that I appreciated, and they would tell what great things God had done. And I would try and duplicate that, and I'd have some success, but I'd also fail a lot of times. And so what I've learned, it's you can get some results living on somebody else's faith, but it's really hard to live on somebody else's faith. You need to have your own relationship with God. You need to understand. You need to have the Holy Spirit as your teacher. And I'm telling you, He can come and teach you in a way that personally makes sense to you. Now, quickly, faith in the elm tree. And I've already done two lessons on this, and they're at my website, garycarpenter.org, under the section that says Prayer Center Sunday Night Teachings. And it's also at ICTUS, www.iktus.net. So you can get the whole thing there quickly. When I was a teenager, we had a family business and had a big field where there was no trees. and we had a warehouse there, and we operated our business. It gets hot in Oklahoma in the summertime, if you haven't noticed. And this little sapling kept trying to come up. This little tree kept coming up out of the ground. And my dad says, boy, that's right in the center of our pasture there. That'd be a really good place to have a tree. It'd be nice to have some shade, you know, to in this field. And my job was to mow that field. I had a riding mower. And so my dad told me not to mow it down. Well, I'd forget, and I'd mow it down. I'd mowed it down three or four times, and the thing would start coming back. So finally, my dad told me to build a little white picket fence around that thing. Paint it white, he said, so I wouldn't miss it. Don't mow the thing down. So I did that. Long story short, that tree, you know, we owned that property for a long time, and I got to watch that little sapling go through its entire life cycle. It got to be a tree so big that myself, I could stand like I am right now, try and reach around the trunk of it, and I couldn't make my fingers touch on the other side. I'd lack about a foot or foot and a half. Is that big a tree? It went at least 60, 70 foot in the air, put out great branches, huge thing. Well, eventually, quite a few years later, there was a elm disease came through Tulsa and just decimated this city when it comes to elms, and that tree was one of them, and it died. Well, you know, after a tree has been standing there dead for a couple of years, it starts getting dangerous. Somebody told me they call them widowmakers, you know. I mean, if that thing fell on my ugly building, it'd knock it down. So now I have the job of cutting this thing down. And we're talking, it's going to be a job. This tree, there's just the trunk. My chainsaw, when I tried to cut it down, it was a, you know, a normal chainsaw. Wouldn't even reach to the center of it. I went all the way around the thing, and it wouldn't fall because the chainsaw wouldn't reach to the middle. Still had a core. I had to use wedges and a sledgehammer to tilt the thing on over. Now, I'm in the process of cutting this thing up and hauling it away. We're talking tons of wood here. We're talking pickup load after pickup load. I had the bumper on that old pickup nearly dragging the ground coming out of there now. And it's a lot of work. And this thought would come to me. This thought. Where did all this substance come from? Look at this substance I'm having to haul away. Tons of it. Well, over the years, he's taught me many things about faith. Because faith is the substance of the thing you hope for. Well, this substance of this tree came from something. But I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't in that little bitty seed. There wasn't two in the beginning, I could take one hand and pull that sapling out of the ground. Not a problem. I wouldn't even want to think how long it would take you to take all the roots out of the ground when that thing got to be a massive tree. So we've been teaching on that for 2 weeks, how faith works like a seed. So let's go quickly through this review. We're doing okay. Here's some things that I've learned over the years meditating about that. Now, we're comparing that elm tree with the Word of God. Okay? That elm tree. Was there an image on the inside of that little seed that went into the ground? That little seed probably didn't weigh an ounce. Maybe an ounce. But it had the image, let's just say, of a two-ton tree. It had the image, not the substance. It had the image. That's the way God's Word is. You may be sick. There is an image for you in God's Word. An image of being healed. You may have a calling to be a worldwide evangelist. There is an image in God's Word to bring that to come to pass. You might have the image to be a gospel entrepreneur. Whatever it is, there is an image in God's Word, but that image is not the substance. The image is not the substance, and it's important to know that. Anyone that's got a Bible, hold it up. That is can we call that a sack of seed for tonight? You've got a whole sack of God's Word. You've got a whole book full of seed. I'm telling you right now, there is no image you're ever going to need that's not in here. He didn't miss something. He's got your case covered. Yeah, but I've got a rare form of cancer. Trust me, by His stripes, you were healed. Doesn't matter how rare it is. By His stripes, you were healed. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right? So we've got this sack of seed. Now, in Egypt, they discovered seed that was about 3,000 years old. They knew what kind it was. What kind was it?
Kamut.
K-A-M-U-T?
Yes.
Kamut. And it had been sealed up in these jars in the desert there, you know, for 3,000 years. And, of course, they discovered it, and they're wondering, will it still grow? They planted it. After 3,000 years, the seed would still produce. Boy, every believer I know has their sack of seed They have a Bible laying on their coffee table, at least. They probably got 6 or 7 translations in the house. But it's just exactly like the seed that was sealed up in the pyramids. It has the potential. It's laying there full of images. But that seed will not produce until you have faith like a seed. Faith says. How do you plant it? If you had faith as a seed, you would say. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Well, here's some things quickly going through this review. Now, the reason for this, he told me to ask you this question, so I'm going to ask you. Those of you that haven't heard this before, you're exempt. Those of you that were here last week, here's the question before I even read this. Have you planted any seed since last Sunday?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's what he's after. He says, we're coming to a new level of accountability. Every person that heard that has something about their life or somebody else's life that needs to be changed. If they didn't do something with that seed, it can lay there for 3,000 years and nothing will happen. You've got to do something different than what you've been doing. What's that old definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing and expect different results. No, we got to do something different than what we've been doing. Hallelujah. All right, so let's look, quick review here now. Then we're going to get into how do you actually plant it. Things that I've learned. It says, from a tiny seed, first came a sapling that I could have pulled out of the ground, roots and all, with little effort. Then came a giant elm tree containing several tons of wood. Where did all this substance come from? I've been meditating on this for about 20 years. Things that I've gleaned from it. Number one, the substance was not in the seed. You've got to get that. The substance, faith is the substance, not the seed. Say it out loud. Faith is the substance, not the seed. The original seed certainly did not weigh several tons. The seed contained the image of the elm tree, not the substance. God's Word contains the image, not the substance. We must always meditate the Word of God in whole images in order not to destroy the image that's in the seed. You heard about that farmer that was going to double his crop? He had so much seed, but he wanted to double his harvest. So what did he do? He took a knife and he cut every seed in half. How much of a harvest did he get? None, because he destroyed the image in the seed. And that's exactly what we do when we lift any verse out of its setting. You destroyed the image, and it will not produce. Okay? All right? See, we already said that. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Now, the seed draws nutrients from what it is planted in, a natural seed. In other words, for the elm tree, you had to return the seed to the soil. Let's say it this way. You have to return the seed to the source. The seed, really, what it is a conversion mechanism. The seed converts the elements, the natural seed, from the soil into the components required to produce the image that's in the seed. The elm tree is not going to draw things into it that's going to produce a mimosa. It's not. That elm tree has got a specific image. It's not going to. You're not going to plant it and get. It's not going to. Even a natural seed, it's not going to draw things to produce something different than the image that's in that seed. It's going to produce the image that's in it. Amen? All right? It draws. Natural seed draws zinc, manganese, and all the other elements required to produce the image. From the atmosphere, you know, once the little sapling comes above ground, then it starts drawing water and the nutrients for the chlorophyll process. Photosynthesis is a word I couldn't think of that day. Photosynthesis. To develop the image. The entire... Now, this you've got to get. That entire tree existed in another form in the ground before you planted the seed. God! Does that sound like... Can you not hear? I have given you the land. By His stripes you were healed. Your healing exists. It's in the source. His name is God. You got to plant His Word, and it will draw from God what you need for your healing. It'll draw from God what you need for your calling. It'll draw from God what you need for your wayward kids. Trust me, I know. Sue and I would walk the floor, and yes, sir, somebody needs this. Go to Isaiah somewhere. It's close. 49, I think it is. Yes. If you don't know, we had three daughters that are only 2 years apart, so they were all teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenagers all at the same time. They all went into rebellion. None of them were raised to do like they did. And it was dangerous type stuff. I mean, you know, and you love them all. I mean, you know, nothing ever affects a parent's love for their child. But that sure doesn't mean they were pleasing us, let me tell you right now. But we were, you know, the Lord trained us to, we had good teaching about how to speak God's Word over our child. Well, we didn't, you know, there's a lot of verses. He led us to this particular passage because the way the enemy was defeating our faith, mine and Sue's, while we were standing for them, he was telling us things like, look, I have a right to them. They're choosing this. Because we would say, we didn't raise you like this. And the devil was just jumping right in there going, that's right. They're choosing to do this. I have a right to them. And I didn't know what to do about that. So I'm praying. And one day going through my Bible, I fell on these verses, these two right here. Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. And these are the verses. Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Now think about that. What is a lawful captive? A lawful captive is someone who's guilty, and they've been arrested. But then legally arrested. And that's what the devil was telling me. I've got them and I have a right to them. Legally I've got a right to them because they're choosing this. Well, here's the question. Can they be delivered? I'd like to know the answer, please. Next verse. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I mean, we began to say, we'd walk the floor and say that, you know, God says, my word does not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that for which I sent it. How are you going to return it to him without speaking it? We'd walk the floor and we'd say, Lord, we found it. I don't care if they are lawful captives. Devil, you hear me? You might as well shut up. It doesn't matter because even the lawful captives are delivered. The Lord will contend with you that's contending with me. And the Lord will save my children. And we'd call our daughters saved. We'd call them baptized in the Holy Ghost. We'd say our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. And we knew what we saying if they's in the bars getting drunk. Or worse. Gary, you did it for 1 week and God came through, right? No, you must be kidding. This war lasted for several years before it was over. When you begin one of these, Brother Gary, how long do you make your confession? I always say 10,000 years. Because I figure if they will accept that, that'll be enough. In other words, they won't quit until they get their answer. You don't quit until you get your answer. Do you have what you say? So I always just say, it's 10,000 years. Hallelujah. Would that have worked? That verse was in the Bible before we started saying it. And it was in the, we could have left it on sitting on the shelf or sitting on the coffee table. And I'm telling you right now, the whole situation could have turned out a lot different than it did. Y'all, in case some of you don't know, those same three daughters have been fine for years. God did deliver them, and all three of them are working with us in the ministry now full time. That'll teach the devil trying to take my daughters to hell. Glory to God. Devil, you can't have my daughters. My daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy and cast out devils in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. One time Aaron came home from college. She's going to, I'll probably get in trouble. And she forgot. She said, Daddy, you know, she'd come home, got home late from college and was in her room, and the next morning she wasn't feeling real good. She said, Daddy, would you go carry in my stuff out of the my suitcase is out of the Blazer. Well, I went around. You know how Blazers are. You open up the back. You ought to have seen the vodka bottles that rolled out. Empty bottles. I said, oh, my God. My daughters are the... What did you say? My daughters are the handmaiden of the Lord. I'm not moved by what I see. Now she's the administrator of the ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But faith works like a seed. If you have faith as a seed, you will say, it wouldn't have done any good to have that verse in the Bible and not have it in our heart and in our mouth. In our heart and in our mouth. All right, let's keep going here. Let's go up to... Hallelujah. We're at item 4, part E. The entire tree existed. Okay, let's look at D again. The entire tree was in the ground before the seed was planted. Now get this. The entire tree existed in an is-not form. It existed in an is-not form. The tree was in the ground. But it had to have a seed planted to draw that tree, if you'll allow me, out of the ground. Everything you need is in God. It takes faith in His Word to draw that substance out of God. Can I say it that way? Your healing exists right now in an is-not realm. Your gospel entrepreneurship exists in an is-not realm right now, but it exists. God knew you and called you before the foundation of the world. Don't tell me it doesn't exist. It does. Mm-hmm. Your job is to preach the Word. Preach the Word. You said preach. Your job is to plant the Word. Yeah. Say the Word. And there's also the rest of the message. Praying in the Spirit to get the mind of Christ and to get personal instructions. Yeah. All of those things that goes along with this. We're just talking about one aspect of it, which is confession tonight. All right. We've got to go quickly or I'm going to run out of time. Item 5, the Word of God is a conversion mechanism. It converts what is not into what is. What is not is already there before you exercise faith in God's Word. That's, I have given you the land. You got to possess it by faith. Okay, we already did that about it being on the coffee table 3,000 years old. Go down to 7. How do you plant God's Word like a seed? Because that's what He's after tonight. How do you plant God's Word like a seed? Every time you hear Him combining faith and seed, you're going to hear Him in that same verse, He'll say, you shall say. You shall say. You shall say. I don't know how else you're going to return God's Word to Him without getting it in your mouth. What did He tell Joshua? This word of the... All he had was the law. But this word of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. How are you going to have it in your mouth? I know you've got it in your head. I know you've got it in your heart. How do you have God's Word in your mouth? In your mouth. You got to say it to have it in your mouth. What did He do with Abraham? Or his name was Abram. What did he do? He got God's promise in Abram's mouth. He changed his name. I am Abraham. I am the father of many nations. Not only did he hear it every time he said it, he heard it every time anybody else said it. Abraham, it's time for supper. She might as well have said, O thou father of many nations, it's time for supper. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it. It works on the part of you that believes. But that it also releases the power that's in the seed because it releases the Holy Ghost to manifest it. Mm-hmm. Item 7 again. How do you plant God's Word like a seed? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. That's how you do it. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart. Say with the mouth. Well, say, let's... Gary, let's just get real. I mean, my symptoms are so bad. I look at this young lady over here in the wheelchair. Listen, I've had my symptoms. I've had cancer and had to fight it. It's really hard when the symptoms are with you every minute of every day. I know what it is. What was harder for me, to be honest with you, was 2 years ago or so when I couldn't walk, or I could barely walk. The pain was so constant. Couldn't sleep. You couldn't take a step without this pain just shooting like a knife right in your spine, you know. And when you have constant pain, that's constant evidence that you're not healed. And I mean, that took really more than the time with the cancer. Speaking God's words, you know, saying His Word, calling myself healed. At one point, I couldn't even walk. I mean, our house isn't big. It's not that far. It's about as far from my couch to the bathroom, as it is from me to him right now, I can't even think of any names. I know you, we've had lunch, I love you. But anyway, my mind is in a different place right now. That's about all the distance it is, from about my couch to the bathroom door is about that far right there, and I could not walk that far. I'd have to go on all fours. I'm crawling on my hands and knees, crawling. By His stripes, I was healed. And boy, the pain in my back was saying everything different. But thank God, yes, sir. This is where accountable comes in. See, y'all do know I have taught these things for years. But that one slipped up on my blind side, and I didn't realize I had let my mouth just flow in agreement with my circumstances. And thank God for a wife who one day lovingly, not in a bad way, came and put her little beautiful finger right near my nose and said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and take away all the rest of your ministry. And I mean, it was like at first I wanted to get angry. But it was like a slap of cold water, you know what I mean? Just a slap with a wet cloth right across the face. But she was 100% right. And I had to change my confession. That was the beginning of the bottom. That was the bottom of the roller coaster ride right there. From that point on, we began saying and saying and saying. And as you can see, I have my manifestation. And I've had it for a long time now. Hallelujah. Now, for full disclosure, he also, as I began to pray then, my whole attitude changed. I'm not going to get worse. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. My whole attitude changed, because when you start speaking God's Word, it also starts building faith in your heart. What you don't believe in the beginning, if you keep saying His Word, you'll wind up believing it yourself. And you go, I am going to get better. And so then he started bringing a certain Spirit-filled doctor's face. Every time I'd pray, I'd see this guy's face. And I went and saw him, and God used him to help also. But the end result, I don't care. All I want to know is, all I want to do is be able to walk and teach. That's what I want to be able to do. Let me walk and teach. Glory to God. But it never would have happened just laying in my Bible. Your spirit is the soil that God's Word must be planted in. You are the soil. Now, your born-again spirit is connected with God, the source. And if you have faith as a seed, you would say, faith believes in the heart and says with the mouth. And as you do that, God is the source of your substance. It will draw what you need right out of Him. Now, as an example, look at the other handout. This is an old one that I did years and years ago. I didn't make this up for this class. I already had it made up. Most of you know that I dealt with being addicted to cigarettes for many, many years. I loved the Lord, Spirit-filled. I could tongue-talk along with the best of them. But I was addicted, buddy. I mean, and you know, I was a 3-pack-a-day smoker and had been for about 42 years. And in all this, now, see, I hate to even bring that up, because you go, well, I never did smoke. We might find, if I spend a little time with you, you might have some other strongholds. You know, you might have some other strongholds. Don't focus on that. You know, what's keeping you from revival? What is it about you that needs to change? Okay? Well, at the time, I'm telling you, I would read Romans chapter 6, where it would say things like, you are dead to, you know, you're dead to sin and alive to God. And I'd be walking, I'd be walking over at the ugly building, smoking like a freight train. Had already tried to quit 100 times. You know what happens when you try to quit? There is a lot of evidence saying you're not free. Real quick, strong. My body, I mean, it reared up and it's saying, you know, you're going to give me what I want, or I'm going to make your life a living hell. You know, the Bible talks about it's better to live on the rooftop than with a certain kind of woman. Your body becomes that woman. And you can't get away from it. You can't go live on the roof either. You're stuck with her. You know? And boy, I mean, giving me trouble providing lots of evidence that you're not free. And I'd walk out there and I'd read Romans 6 and I said, Lord, it says right here that I have been made free from sin. Lord, do you understand? I have no evidence that that's true except just what your Word says. When I try and quit, I get lots of evidence that I'm not free. The only faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I didn't know much about these things in those days, but I made this confession while I was still smoking like a freight train. I knew enough to know that I had to get God's Word planted on the inside of me, So I just took most of the verses in Romans chapter 6 and I made them into a present tense, now confession. Like just like he did for Abraham. He didn't change Abram's name to someday you will be the father of many nations. He changed his name, I am the father of many nations, calling those things that be not as though they already were. You got that? So I did the same thing. If you can picture me walking along, just smoking like a freight train over there. Puff, puff, puff. I am dead to sin. Puff, puff. I mean, I have no evidence. I have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. I am buried with Him by baptism into death. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, I now walk in newness of life. Puff, puff. How about six? My old man is crucified with Him. Puff, puff. That the body of sin be destroyed. Oh, how about, henceforth, I do not serve sin. Puff, puff. I didn't have the fruit yet. I was in the planting seed stage. Can you get that? They used to ask Smith Wigglesworth, who had this, he was the apostle of faith in his generation. I mean, people raised from the dead. I'm not preaching right in front of you for any reason. All kinds of miracles, and they'd ask him, you know, wouldn't you ask him if you had the chance? Smith, what is the secret of great faith? He always said the same thing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He was teaching faith is like a seed. Faith grows. You have to start with the seed. And at this stage, I'd love to have the fruit. What would the fruit be in this case? The day that I finally quit. Then quit forever, which has now been many years. Thank God forever. In case you were wondering. I got other strongholds. We're against other strongholds now, okay? What are they? I'm not asking you about yours. Okay. She says, thank God, hallelujah. Okay. But see, there's a difference between harvest time and seed planting time. Now this is where the accountable, we're going to finish here in the next couple of minutes. This is why he said now, we're coming into a season of accountability. I praise God that there were actually some that said that they had done something with this message since last Sunday. Now, it's just so simple. Isolate. Here's your homework assignment, class. Homework assignment. Is there something that in your life that needs to be changed? Most of us at least know one Jericho, one AI, something. And if you're past all that, do you have friends that need to be saved? Do you have daughters or children that are wayward? In other words, it works for you, but it works for other people. Number one, whatever it is you want to change, here's your assignment. Gather some seed from God's Word. Gather some seed that covers that case. Like the example I gave you, for wayward children, I highly recommend Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. By the way, in the early days like this, I mean, I just did the whole chapter because I needed the whole chapter. I used to think you had to have all the verses. Like, I'm going to walk in prosperity now. Well, I thought I had all the verses, Old Testament and New. No, by two or three witnesses, let every word, every truth be established. You only need two or three. Really, you only need one. God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will accomplish that for which God sent it. But for witnesses' sake, I recommend you get... all you need is two or three. By two or three witnesses. Get those three. See, like one of my favorite... It's from the Old Testament. I don't care. Still God's Word. When I'm fighting some kind of sickness... You are the Lord my God that healeth me. This is why prayer over your meals is important. You will bless my bread. You will bless my water. And you will take sickness away from the midst of me. That one just speaks to me. It may not speak to you, but it does to me. When I'm up against some kind of battle with sickness, man, that's one of my verses. And when we go to eat, we need to pray. Hey, nowadays you don't even know what country your food is coming from. We was up at my mom's here at Thanksgiving. And she said, boy, these peach preserves I bought are really good. I said, where'd you get them? Down at Reeser's. So I'm putting some peach preserves on my biscuit. Man, my mom makes good biscuits. We was having biscuits. And I get to looking around it. Product of Argentina. Product of Argentina. Well, they might be all right. They might not be all right. I wanted to pray again. Lord, you bless my food. You bless my water. I don't know where this... I don't know how they raise stuff in Argentina. See, you don't know. Yeah, we kill all the bugs. How do you do it? We put arsenic on all the peaches. Oh, my God! You know, I'm teasing. I'm just, you know, but I'm just saying, you don't know what they're doing. We better pray over our food. You know, Paul said your food is sanctified, set apart by the Word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. All right. Homework assignment. Don't tell me there's not something that you want to change. Or let's say a destiny that you feel in your heart, a calling. You need 2 or 3 verses to cover your case. And I mean you need to on purpose schedule some sowing time. Schedule on purpose some sowing time. What I mean by that, say every Thursday, whatever time works for you, start somewhere. Thursday at 1 o'clock, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I am going to walk the floor and I'm going to say these 2 or 3 verses out loud. Just do nothing else for that hour. Turn my cell phone off, turn the radio off, turn that worship music off for once. No, yeah. And I like worship music, it's fine, but you don't need entertainment, you need fruit. There's time for that. Worship is wonderful. I love listening to everything. It's wonderful. But there, hey, I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. Sowing seed is hard work. Now, if you've never been out there busting up that old red clay down around Shawnee, Oklahoma, getting ready to plant the corn, honey, that's work. You're not out there singing through the tulies either. You're working, sweating, it's hard. Nowadays they have air-conditioned tractors. Oh, my God. You know? It's hard work. Well, sowing seed, your whole life, your whole ministry depends on this. But the homework assignment, get some verses that just take one stronghold. You know, God says, I'm not going to give you the whole land in a single day. It's one city at a time. One stronghold at a time. Let's take one. Let's pull the walls down. Let's put to death everything in it that's against God. And let's possess that land. Then let's go on to the next one. Amen. Amen. Now that whole process is why we do calling in the lost. We're calling those things that be not as though they were. It's doing so many things at once. It is building faith in our hearts. But we're also saying it in that I am fashion. That already exists fashion. And I'm telling you, this revival already exists.
Amen.
You hear me? It already exists, but it exists right now in the not seen realm. Yes. We're calling it into the seen realm. Glory to God. All right. Now, you know the Lord. You know the Lord. How he feels about his word. Thy word is truth. And you know how he appreciates really good teaching. But he says, if it comes to it this week, I heard him say it several times. Tell him this. If you have a choice between listening to a tape, listening to a message, or spending that same hour speaking his word, speak his word. Until you change your pattern. You ever heard of a phrase called itching ears?
Yeah.
See, we're going to wind up guilty of that. I like to hear good teaching too, obviously. I love, when Dave's breaking a new revelation, something I've never heard before. I mean, I like you, but don't talk to me right now. Dave is breaking a revelation. I want to hear it. I'm hungry. I have itching ears in the sense of I really want to hear that. But listen, there is a season for everything. And for if we're going to change lifelong patterns, there's no such thing as change without change. Listening to the next message probably is not as important to you right now than doing the last message. It is the doer of the word that's blessed in his deeds. Now, he's really bringing this up. It's why he wouldn't let me go on to the next thing tonight. We're going to have to... Listen, he's broke it down into Jane, see the ball format here. you know, whatever it is you want to change, all he's saying, find two or three verses that cover that case. And then spend some time, like a farmer, sowing the seed. There is a season of sowing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You know, another thing I could have put on that outline that I learned from that elm tree, you couldn't, no matter how bad you wanted it to be full grown, you could not make it grow to its full maturity overnight. But the way he taught me about miracles, you know, and the things that we want to see, he says, look, son, that's why Smith would say it that way. He didn't get that way overnight. People think that he did. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The Holy Spirit was teaching me about that, and he said, I don't care how bad, you know, someone's really, I don't care how bad you need that miracle. And I don't care how bad they want that miracle. Son, no matter how bad you want corn, you cannot harvest corn off of a blade. There is a maturing process where your faith has to grow, where that image has to grow. Now, we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. They are exactly that. They are gifts. But you have no control over that. You do have control over your own harvest. You can have anything that God's Word says you have. I appreciate lines, but you don't have to wait for the next one. You can have your own harvest from planting His seed. This is good stuff, man. This is good. This is good. All right? Now, that's what he's saying. He's got it down to Jane, see the ball. Is there any part of this that anybody does not understand? Find two or three verses that covers your case and schedule on time. I would recommend at least 1 hour. If you can't stand it, I know what it is. It's hard to just speak. Do it 15 minutes. Do it 10 minutes. But do it somehow. And it's a whole lot easier to fall back. I think I'll listen to the tape again. That's fine. After you spent your hour speaking the Word. I need to listen to the Born Again Trail again. You do. After you speak an hour. Or spend an hour speaking His Word. It's time to become doers of the Word. Amen.